Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. My guest today is artist Joe Ando. The Tulsa native New York-based artist has a new show in the city. And while the artist hasn't lived in Tulsa for decades, his hometown still plays an immensely huge role in his work. Today, he uses Google Maps and its street-side views to access his Tulsa, which is the areas of Far East Tulsa, where the city gives way to the country in a sudden, almost instant transition. Ando's work has been exhibited internationally, and it's part of the collections of major museums, including the Metropolitan Museum of Art, Museum of Modern Art, and the Whitney in New York, the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, the Museum of Fine Arts in Boston, and the Detroit Institute of Arts, to name a few. He's known for his dark, reductive paintings of horses, dogs, deserted highways, and roadside country landscapes, which begins as a dark, completely dark black palette where he removes paint to create a monochromatic, ghost-like image. Now, there are examples of this in the show, but mostly this new show features some new work, work on paper, watercolors, and collage piece with fish and horse images. Grand Lakes is the name of the exhibit. It's on display through January 10th at Exhibit by Aberson at 3524 South Peoria. And Joe Ando joins me today here on Studio Tulsa. Joe Ando, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. It's a pleasure to have you with us again. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about this new exhibit. This exhibit features some new work that you're doing that I think you've never done before. Collage work involving fish. Where did this ideas for this series come from?
I moved out of my big studio on 27th Street into a small apartment in Chinatown, and the plan was to just do works on paper, things I could do in the house and not mess it up. And it led to these collages. I had never done collages, and I found all this antique paper, and I started printing images off the internet and cutting them out and pasting them on watercolors and pasting them on this on drawings and whatnot. And nothing was planned, and it just started turning into these, like, almost like, you know, high school art class-looking movie posters of movies called, like, instead of, like, Knott's Landing or Dallas, it would be called Port Gibson or Grand Lake or Keystone or something. And I just had a lot of fun with that, you know, this idea of the lakes, how it's like Tulsa off the grid, you know, where Tulsa goes to behave poorly, and show off, and, you know, let it loose.
I know there's one that refers to Monkey Island, which, of course, that is a very famous place for monkeying around at various times during our history.
You know, and I haven't been to any of these places. I've been to the Keystone a few times, but I haven't been to any of these places in years.
You hear stories.
I kind of know the style of what it looks like when Oki's getting in trouble. So I had fun. I put, you know, kind of pictures of naked ladies and, you know, horses and boats and fish and just lake culture.
Yeah.
I always liked this idea of Spavinaw Lake had a bar there called the Sportsman, and supposedly it was the only place you could just walk up and buy a drink for the longest time, you know?
Before liquor by the drink, yeah, right. Yeah, well, lakes were sort of wide open at those
times. And so, like, you know, honey, I'm going fishing really kind of meant I'm going up to the Sportsman. I just sort of let my imagination of what could happen next, you know.
Well, these fish images, they do look like advertising images of the big fish, you know, the fish that you want to put up on the wall. And some of them look like they're almost like taxidermy trophies.
Right.
Others are the sort of very commercial graphic looking fishes that, you know, the fish in mid-jump with the mouth wide open. And so you just appropriate them.
Yeah, and I was, you know, like this old Miller High Life commercial kept coming to mind, of Burl Ives on a fishing boat, Miller High Life fishing. It's just, I don't know, I'm just trying to have fun.
Well, and in this couple of the images, you have these fish interposed with a 12-pack box of Miller High Life. Yeah. So I knew I was going to ask about this. It just was fun. What about Miller?
I'm just trying to entertain myself.
And so you're just grabbing images that appeal to you?
Yeah.
And so, I guess it's kind of, this is a mundane question, but it's like, why Miller as opposed to any other beer? Is there anything significant about it, or is it just something that was the beer you snuck out when you were a youth to drink, or what?
I just kind of like, it's Miller time, you know? It's just sort of like shorthand for the whole thing, you know?
Yeah.
There's a few in there with Betty Page, you know?
Well, there are also other images that are showing off some of your current techniques, some of them very large pieces. Wireless is one, for example. Uh-huh. This is a beautiful landscape. Really nice. It kind of captures that countryside look. There's some telephone poles and light, you know, wires hanging out of it. But it's basically just this wonderful look of a clouded day where you get that sort of ray of sunshine coming through.
Well, what it is, it's... These are from a show I had earlier in the year, and the theme was wireless. And I always wondered what the edge of, like, you know, your roaming charge, like, what does the edge of your cell signal look like? Is it a sharp line? And then I started thinking about when I was a kid, there was a soap opera on TV that would be on, and it was called The Edge of Night, and it just showed, like, night coming over the city, like, in a sharp line. So I went on Google Maps, and, you know, and it's fun being in New York, and I can, like, a periscope, I can just click on the mouse and drive all over Tulsa. I can go all these places, and then I see an interesting picture. I can click on that and print it up. But you know, there's a few differences. These Google cars, the camera is like 12 feet off the ground, and so you get a lot of the infrastructure, a lot of the cables ahead. Like I go to these places that I grew up in, and out east, it really hasn't changed much, except I started noticing the heavy cables on the telephone lines, and I realized that was the internet superhighway, and so. One thing led to another, and I started doing, you know, like pretty much straight up east side landscapes but on the telephone poles, I had these streaks of light that kind of looked like Hot Wheel tracks or something, you know? And this is like the super highway, and the name of the show was called Super Highway. But anyway, the idea of like going home via telescope and then taking these images, the thing is kind of folds in on itself, you know?
Right. And in the piece that's in this show, this wireless piece, I don't see a lot of that sort of superstructure, although you do have the lines.
What you have is you have this radiance that's coming down from the sky. That's the wireless internet. I just always wondered what that signal would look like if you could put milk in it, you know?
If you could see it.
Uh-huh. And so I took a picture of this is the intersection of Lynn Lane and 11th Street. That's at the bottom, and then you have the edge of your signal coming across it.
Yeah, and when was the last time you were at 11th Street and Lynn Lane?
Yesterday.
And you actually went yesterday to see what it looks like.
I was driving my mom out to the uh-huh. casino.
Uh-huh. And, but when you made the image, you hadn't seen it in years, or?
You know, the East Tulsa out there is like one of the, sort of like, who was it, Faulkner, that strip mine that 1 square mile? That's sort of my East Tulsa, sort of my muse. Mm-hmm. And so anytime I come home, I love to drive around out there. I take pictures.
It's like you can go from city to country, like in
just like
what,
that.
Like that, yeah, exactly.
I'll be sad one day when I drive out there and it's developed.
Yeah. My guest today is Joe Ando, an artist whose work is on display at the exhibit by Aberson Gallery, 35th and South Peoria. Grand Lake will be on display through January 10th, and it features this new series of fish scenes, a collage. There's also a horse series, a new horse series, which I've never seen before, too. Is it watercolor, or is it actual?
Yeah, it's just a
quick watercolor study of these horses.
It's just kind of like, what do you call those things you would get at Disneyland, the cutouts?
Silhouettes or cameos?
Cameos.
Uh-huh.
They're just cameos of horses done in ink.
Mm-hmm.
I really wanted to have some real affordable things, mm-hmm. you know, where people could come and they could buy something hardly cost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course, horses have been a part of your work for a long, long time.
Well, horses, you know, after I moved to New York, they became like shorthand for all this I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people put a lot of baggage on them. You know, I was never an equestrian. I hardly ever rode. But it's like it was like painting a picture of a neighbor or something. You know, there were people had horses out there. I just took them for granted until I moved to New York, and all of a sudden, like, you know, this is like a bouillon of everything I know.
Mm-hmm. And for most of that time, you were using your reductive technique of taking a wet canvas and sort of a monochrome color, uh-huh, and creating the image by removing paint, which is...
Well, I still do that some while.
Yeah, there's a couple pieces in the show that feature that technique.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I don't think I ever throw anything away. I just sort of bring it all with me, and I reuse it and reinvent it. Yeah, it was an idea. One day I came to my studio, and I'm a slob. I forgot to clean my brushes. I didn't have anything to paint with, so I covered the canvas with black paint and started wiping it off, and it, little things turned to clouds, and the next thing, there were landscapes, and it became, you know, traditionally you add flesh in order to simulate light. In this way, I was taking away the flesh in order to reveal, like, say, the light, the spirit or something.
You're creating light after out of dark.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was less pretentious that way, you know. It was, like, more actual, more like a, you know how sometimes black and white photographs look more real than color. It's something, you know, that gray tone, the continuation of one color that's seamless, like it is in real life, where, you know, it's more telescoped rather than lateral, where does this thing fit next to that? No, this thing is a continuation of it all.
And, of course, with that technique, I've always thought that those images look almost ghostly in a way.
That's what people say, yeah.
Yeah. You were talking about a little bit about when you first came up on that technique and when you were first starting, and you said, you know, people in New York really, you sort of started us to say something about people in New York. I'm wondering, are you surprised by the reaction your work gets in New York as opposed to, you know, when you're doing these images of Tulsa as opposed to, say, a Midwestern thought process about your art?
It depends on who it is. There's so many people in New York.
Well, you talked about the baggage they put all this baggage onto the artwork.
Well, it's easy. They don't have much time. So it's like they're going to take the thing that sticks up the highest and flag that, you know.
Uh-huh.
And for years, I'd never even titled anything because I didn't think that was important, what it was about, you know, because everybody feels that way about something. It was like almost like the more personal it was, the more universal that is. And then for me to name it Grand Lake or something was to direct feelings too much. I wanted it to be more ambiguous. But with this Tulsa show, I went straight at it. You know, this is pretty much just an illustration. This is the Grand Lake. You know, this is Fort Gibson or Spavinaw, you know.
Yeah. I like the Keystone ones. And you know, because, you know, Keystone is misunderstood or it's just not appreciated much, but it's this lake where, you know, a lot of people go for recreation, but if you're talking about going to lake, people go, oh, you're going to Keystone? Why not Grand Lake? Or
I think Keystone's beautiful. You get out in a boat and there's like these sandbars and these islands. I think it's really nice.
Yeah. In this show, I mean, you're really showing off a lot of different things in this particular show. Was that a particular aim for the show?
I intended it to be all just the works on paper, mm-hmm, because that's what I've done in the last 6 months. But Averson's gallery, they had a different idea. They really wanted a painting show. I wanted a works on paper show, and this was our compromise.
So about half and half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done prints. I've never sold a work on paper. I've never sold a drawing. I've never shown anything framed or paper works. And this was something that was missing, and it's sort of like kind of getting back to the basics, because like getting back to the drums or something, you know, like I needed to get down in there. And I heard, who was it? Somebody from Tulsa, some songwriter, the guy in the Tractors.
Yeah.
What was his name?
Steve Ripley.
I was reading an interview with him last time I was in Tulsa, and he was talking about songwriting. And he said, that if he ever got stuck, he picked up an instrument he hadn't played in a while or never played, and something would come around. And it was kind of like that. You know, I'd never done this, and sure enough, it set me off in a new direction. And that's what I was looking for.
Are you finding new discoveries about your own work from working
on that? Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, new parts of my brain, you know. You know, you do the same thing over and over again. You sort of kind of travel down the same pathways, the same hallways, the same maze. And this way, it's like you step off into that lush grass that's right next to the pavement, you know, and everything's new.
You're working with watercolors? You're working with collage?
I have watercolors. I have, you know, pastels and tempera. A lot of tempera. But it's mainly, you know, spray paint, pencils.
So you're just getting back to the heart of creating art, works on paper?
Getting back to childhood. You know, I was thinking a lot about art class, sitting down with scissors and crayons and stuff.
Now, is this the first time you've shown the works on paper?
This is the first time I've ever shown works on paper, yeah.
Yeah. Well, the opening was over the weekend. What was the reaction? Do you even look at the reaction or just say, here it is, and if you like it, fine. If you don't, fine too.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, everybody's nice.
Uh-huh.
I can't really tell.
My guest today is Joe Ando, a Tulsa artist, lives in New York City. His latest work is on display at the exhibit by Aberson Gallery, Grand Lakes, which features some new work for him, a collage, still using the reductive technique, but I assume that's been over for the past 6 months. You've been just doing works on paper.
I just took a new studio since I've been to New York, been in New York this last few days. I found a studio in Brooklyn, and I'm going to start painting again.
Mm-hmm.
You need to change it up.
And I assume that when you're in a smaller apartment, you just really can't do big paint.
Yeah, it's sort of run its course, you know. You know, it's like working, you know, painting or anything. It's like working out. You have to change your routine in order to get the same results. Got to up the dosage.
Do you think you'll go back to that reductive technique that you're so well known for at some point?
That's what I plan on doing. I'm taking this sublet, the studio, and I'm planning on doing, painting in black and white for 2 months. Seeing how many I can do.
Well, that'll be great. And
I'd like to have some new dog pictures. I'd like to have some new landscapes.
There's a beagle image in this show. And there's also another sort of element that I've seen you use quite a few times, sometimes with a car in it or a solitary car.
Uh-huh.
But it's sort of this road image. And this is a very nice piece, but it's just sort of this solitary road with a beautiful blue sky in the background.
Well, those are all basically, 11th Street. Between
out in the middle of nowhere.
That, yeah.
Well, I have to ask you about another project that you've worked on. The last time you were on the show, you were just published your memoir, Jubilee City, which was a very literary version of your life.
Uh-huh.
And I guess that the idea of making a film about that has sort of been in the background for a number of years. And it sounds like things are starting to move on that. What's exactly happening with that?
Well, Right away when the book was published, I started being contacted by different people who said they wanted to make a movie. And right away, I got Larry Clark involved. You know, he's somebody he and I both went to Whittier Elementary School, but he's 12 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
And he had already made the movie Kids. And we've known each other for 30 years in New York. We had met when my son was one. My son was in the sandbox in the park, and I was sitting there with him, and I was talking to this kid's mother, and this kid's mother says, where are you from? And I go, I'm from Tulsa. And she goes, well, my husband's from Tulsa. And I go, what's his name? She goes, Larry Clark. And so he and I became, acquainted. We go in and out of being what we call friends or daily contacts, but... he liked the book, and he knows me, and I got him involved, and the producers wanted him to, they were leery, but they wanted him to direct it. But right away, they wanted to write their own script, and Larry says, no, Joe, he just turned to me, he says, Joe, you write the script. Like, I had never written a script, just like I had never written a book, and I was kind of pissed off at him, just like, him just, telling me to do that. So I went and did it within a few weeks, and it turned out really well. And we had people at Amazon looking at it, people at HBO looking at it. We had all kinds of action, but they all fell through. I mean, the movie business makes the art world look like a church bake sale. Nobody ever tells you the truth. And so we kind of is in, and so this project has been like a corpse that gets up and does a jig once in a while, you know. And so it's been dead for about a year now, and all of a sudden this new group of people are involved.
Now, when you wrote the screenplay, did you know any of the rules of writing a screenplay or what?
I knew nothing.
And so did you just sort of write a rudimentary script? Or
Larry told me I needed to get something called final draft. Uh-huh. And so I just figured it out. You know, just like when they asked me to write Jubilee City, it took me about 2 seconds to say yes. I said, you know, how hard can it be? There's millions of books written, you know. I'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And I wrote the script, and it just, the first draft flew. We had people all over the place wanting to do it, but it didn't get done.
Yeah. Do you think it will be sort of like an Amazon sort of on-demand sort of thing, or do you think it's going to be a feature film, or what exactly?
Well, these new group of people, they really like the idea of being a miniseries, but there's not enough words, you know. I kind of like it being a movie where it's like one part music, one part scenery, one part words, you know.
Yeah, well.
One part violence and one part sex.
That sounds like a formula for a movie.
But with a miniseries, it seems like there would have to be an awful lot of talking, so I'd be exposed to a lot of like different people putting words in my mouth, and I don't know if I want that.
Well, we wish you great success with that. I hope it takes off. And in the meantime, if you're in the Brookside area, you can see Joe Ando's work, Grand Lakes, which is on display through January 10th and at 3524 South Peoria. Wish you great luck with the new work on paper, and look forward to seeing what happens in the studio down the road.
Thanks for having
Joe,
me.
Joe, it's a pleasure to have you back. Okay. Thanks. Artist Joe Ando speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. The New York artist is featuring his work titled Grand Lakes, which is on display through January 10th at Exhibit by Aberson at 3524 South Peoria. Listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Barry Friedman.
A couple of Saturdays ago, Tulsa had a unified Christmas parade. For years, we had two in town. For years, only one was named Christmas, which is why we had two. But this year, the camps got together, resolved their differences, and the Waste Management Control Christmas Parade was the official Christmas parade in town. Okay, so a Christmas parade sponsored by a refuse company is to a comedian what an open bar is to an alcoholic, but that's not what I want to talk to you about. Nor the arrogance of the organizers of both parades that decided it was their mission to remind the rest of us infidels the real reason for the season. One even said he was really pumped about the birth of Jesus. But again, I digress. My girlfriend's son goes to Mayo Demonstration Academy, and its principal wrote something in a December PTA newsletter. So simple, so beautiful, so rhetorically accessible, complete with grammatical errors, which reminded me how simple this all can be. How wonderful a season this can be when you're not looking for a fight, when your heart's not in competition, when you don't think of inclusion as a punchline, when you don't treat God like your personal bellhop or homeboy, and when your faith doesn't need exclusivity to transcend. Here's what Kenneth wrote. Mayo celebrates a diverse student population. With that diverse population comes diverse celebrations. Winter solstice occurs on Tuesday, December 22nd. Hanukkah begins at sundown on Sunday, December 6th, and ends on Monday, December 14th. The 12 days of Christmas begins on Christmas Day and ends on January 6th. Kwanzaa begins on December 26th and ends on January 1st. There are many things to celebrate in December. Whatever your traditions, I would like to wish all of you a season of calm, a season of peace, a season of warmth, a season of love. How about that? A season of, and you fill in the blank. Gregory, who's 9, still believes in Santa, or at least he tells us he does. He can't really think Elfie moves around the house and then magically loses its powers on December 6th, but Gregory literally jumps up and down when he does. Okay, he's working us. Elfie is not in the Bible, though, is it? Our stockings? How about menorahs with electric lights? How about a mother, a son, an advent calendar, and a dog on a sofa? The mother watching crime shows, the son watching his Wii U, and the dog eating ornaments. It's not. Jesus is the reason for the season, except when he's not. It's all an accommodation this time of year. And good. Come to the house with the tree and the stockings and the expectation of the sister's peppermint bark. It feels like something's different, something warm and special, even if I forgot to plug in the menorah most nights. My daughter flew in earlier this week. She was raised in a mixed household. Her mother and I did such a good job, she has now given up on all religions. My rabbi pissed her off when he refused to marry same-sex couples. Christianity pissed her off when it insisted on demanding fealty to what she considers absurd fairy tales. Still, she wants a dinner. A Christmas dinner. Go figure. She's a cafeteria Methodist, a fed-up Jew, a sometimes atheist, lapsed vegetarian who wants turkey and dressing and pie. But she's home and sleeping on my sofa, and I made her popcorn at midnight. She's 25. I wish you a season of calm, a season of peace, a season of warmth, a season of love. If that's the war on Christmas, let the war rage on.
Barry Friedman is a writer, essayist, and columnist for the Tulsa Voice and a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.
The University of Tulsa welcomes the Greater Tulsa community to a wide array of athletic events, artistic performances, exhibitions, academic lectures, and symposia held on campus. Our public events are open to all. Requests for accommodation of disabilities may be directed to Dr. Tawny Taylor at 918-631-2315. To ensure availability of an interpreter, 5 to 7 days' notice is needed. 48 hours is recommended for all other accommodations.